Let's talk to Evan Wiebeck. He's an all-star, San Jose Mercury News, covering the Giants. Evan, do you know where Aaron Judge is right now?
Not at this exact moment. I could tell you where he was this exact moment last week.
Yes.
Meeting with, you know, I would consider people offering me in the, you know, area of $300 million, family and friends. I don't know about you.
Yeah, you get real close real fast when that size check is being tossed around. Though I suppose that, you know, that's a lot of people to have to call family and friends because he's a very popular dude. There's a lot of teams that are going to be offering him big money. And I guess my concern here, Evan, is we know that the Yankees have already made a revised contract offer, right? They're not lowballing him anymore. A word on the street is it was a very competitive offer. He didn't take it. Giants have made an offer, to my understanding. He is yet to take it. Other teams can get in. I don't know who else has made an offer. And the longer this goes on, the less I feel like this is going to lean towards the Giants. Is that me overthinking it, or is there anything to that line of thought?
Well, Dieter, hold up. I've got Farhan Zaidi on the line here, and he's telling me exactly why Aaron Judge hasn't signed yet.
Yep.
And it's because he hasn't decided yet. breaking news here on KVR.
I'm just saying, if you have to ruminate on it that much, like, don't you usually lean towards the place you already were? Don't you go back to your comfort zone if it's tough?
The conventional wisdom of these things, right? You don't want to let the guy get away. You had him here, and you let him get away.
That's right.
You made the offer, supposedly after the meeting. He did leave and go back home for Thanksgiving without supposedly receiving an offer from the Giants yet, which presumably has now been made as we, you know, go into the winter meetings here. And
right,
we begin to scout out which ballroom of the Manchester Grand Hyatt Aaron Judge is going to have his press conference in to announce his signing.
This is important. If you just stay on top of the scheduling, you might be able to break this news. If you just lock in with the Hyatt staff, you might have a scoop.
Well, I think that's what they did at the St. Regis, though.
That's true. Should have been me. I had heard about it. I should have been hanging out at St. Regis. Should I have abandoned my newborn infant child to go hang out at the St. Regis? I'm starting to think I should have.
What Giants fan wouldn't?
Yeah, well, apparently I'm an A's beat writer, according to the 408 on the text line. Regardless, let me ask you this. We're all hoping Aaron Judge comes. We're all hoping that the Giants offer is the best offer, that his heartstrings are pulled in such a way that he decides that he wants to hang out with Gabe Kapler for the next 7 years. We all hope that goes down, and it very well could go down. What's the Giants' backup plan if it doesn't go down? Because they have been down this road with superstars before. Giancarlo Stanton, they had a big trade offer, they had a new contract, didn't happen. And then they didn't really do anything with those prospects and that money. Bryce Harper, big contract offer, didn't happen. And then they didn't do anything with that money. What are they going to do with the money that they have earmarked for Aaron Judge if it doesn't go to Aaron Judge?
Right, Dieter. I mean, this is really, at least for fans, this is an expectations game. I don't think you have to tell Farhan Zaidi or, you know, the new general manager, Pete Patella, that, I mean, this is what they've been saying, that there's 30 teams out there and they all want Aaron Judge, right? Realistically, maybe there's two, maybe three if you want to get
I don't even know if the A's want him, if we're being honest. They might be like, that's way too much attention. We're not into that sort of thing.
Well, how many Aaron Judges, how many A's payrolls can you fit into an Aaron Judge contract is the question I'm wondering.
That's a fantastic, we're going to find out here in the not too distant future. And I guess we'll have to get those A's arbitration numbers in to really get down to brass tacks. But I imagine it's going to be a significant amount of A's entire rosters into one Aaron Judge contract. That's what I imagine. Regardless, I knocked you off your point to make a snide joke towards the Oakland Athletics, who are just getting drive-bys left and right. Just way too much backlash on this show. We're done with the A's. I'm sorry, you were saying.
It's a fair point, Dieter. But no, you're right. remind me where we were at before we got sidetracked.
Judge doesn't come. He says, no, my heart is in New York City. I left my heart in New York City, completely butchering the song. And he re-signs with the Yankees, or he goes to the Dodgers, or he signs with the Mets, or he's an Oakland A. What do the Giants do with that big pile of money? Because, yes, they've built up expectations, and, yes, the front office knows that they got to come through and really bolster this team with all this money that they have to spend that they've been talking about. The last couple times they haven't done it, Are they going to do it this time? And who are the names they're going to be looking at if Aaron Judge doesn't come? Not to say he can't, just to say you better have a backup plan. And I would start talking to those guys too, because you can't do more than one thing at one time.
Yeah, well, unlike some of these past pursuits that they came up second or third in, you know, I think there's plentiful backup options out there. And this group isn't a team that's one to just throw money around for no reason, right? Like, I think, you know, as much as fans get on, you know, executives, ownership about spending money on these big free agents and kind of making big splurges on the free agent market, I don't think money really has ever been an issue for this team. I don't think it's ever been anything that's held them back from anything. We know that they came up short on Bryce Harper. But, you know, they haven't actually been stopped from going out and getting anybody by not offering, you know, top dollar. It's right. That they don't see it as a smart investment, right, past a certain point or for certain players. Whereas on this market behind Judge, you've got top line starting pitching. If you wanted to go out there, mm-hmm. You can go re-sign Carlos Rodon. You can go replace him with Jacob deGrom or Justin Verlander or Kodai Senga, the new the very intriguing Japanese right-hander with a pitch. I think it's called a ghost splitter.
A ghost splitter?
A ghost splitter.
What more needs to be said? Get the ghost splitter guy.
They weren't very ghostly when they maybe had him in town or maybe didn't with the name and photo up on the scoreboard. We'll see if it.
Yeah, all you have to do is try to get off on 6th Street and you can find out who's actually visiting the Giants that day. But
intrepid reporting.
Ghost splitter. I need that in my life. We need more cool names for pitches, but let's start with that guy.
Yeah, we like him. He'd be exciting. If you can't go out and get the top, you know, Japanese outfielder last year, why not go out and get the top Japanese pitcher this year?
Imagine if there was one guy who could do both of those things.
Imagine. Next offseason, Peter. Next offseason.
Okay, so there's that. Position players. Issue is there seems like a lot of really good shortstops available. And the Giants, they have this guy, Brandon something. He's really good at playing shortstop. So what's the plan there?
So not the belt one, right?
No. Yeah, no, he's not on the team anymore, so I've been told.
He's not on the team anymore. I don't know. Well, first base is actually really intriguing to me with the way just kind of the market is setting up.
For sure.
You know,
big money for Abreu.
But what you're asking about, the four guys that we're really interested in behind Judge on the market, you know,
yeah.
The Bogarts, the Turner, the Swanson,
Does Swanson reach the level of Correa? Like, I know Swanson's a good player. Like, I'm not as – like, a Dansby Swanson won't do it for me. Just – am I missing something with Dansby Swanson? Like, is he actually really awesome and – or has he just had, like, a great contract year for a good Braves team?
I mean, I think it's worth kind of breaking these guys out into who's going to be a superstar and who's not, because that's really what – this team needs. If you're going to go out and spend the bucks that any of these guys are going to require, and I do think probably Dansby Swanson's maybe the cheapest of the five, mm-hmm. if we're talking Judge and the shortstop position player-wise. But if you're going to go out and sign a guy, all of them are going to be nine-figure contracts. It's just a matter of what that contract starts with, whether it's a 1, 2, or a 3.
Right.
And if you're going out and giving nine figures to anybody, you're going to want to be able to put them up on billboards. You're going to want to be able to appeal to the fan base. You're going to need to pull up attendance out of the lowest place it's ever been in a regular season at Oracle Park. And is Dansby Swanson that guy? Are any of the shortstops those guys? Is Trey Turner that guy? Is Carlos Correa that guy? I think you could make a case. Turner, maybe not the most marketable guy, but he's a very exciting player, maybe one of the most electric in the game. Yeah. Correa, I think, is a legitimate superstar, maybe regarded as the best clubhouse guy out of those guys, you know, cheating scandal disregard. That's a big, big asterisk on that, being a part of that Astros team, but right. Widely respected in the sport as a guy who could be a clubhouse leader and then maybe a guy who could take on a bigger personality just within the team and the organization as a whole. He's the guy who could maybe earn that paycheck. The others, besides Judge, Judge obviously, it's not even a question. He might be the only one of those guys who really truly fits that profile if you want to get into the, you know, who's going to really satisfy the fan base and bring fans to the ballpark. I don't know. Carlos Correa is probably the second best option out of those guys if you're talking about quality.
It's a pretty big drop off. I mean, as good as Carlos Correa has been, like, we're talking about a guy who you're penciling into the lineup, lefty or righty, as the three-hitter or two-hitter every day, a guy who you can count on to be in the lineup 140 times and a guy who, yeah, billboards. We're talking about printing him on the season tickets. We're talking about putting him in the commercials. We're talking about him being the dude that everyone goes to when they need a comment about the team. Like, face of the franchise. And they had this for many years with Buster Posey, right? That was the guy that every day, unless I guess it was a day game after a night game, you would just put in the lineup as the three hitter, right? Or the two hitter. You would just say, well, we know Buster's there and everything goes from Buster. And he was the guy that you could put a microphone in front of. You can put on the billboards. You could do whatever. Now, Buster was a little bit of a different beast in that because, again, he's not hitting 60 home runs a year. But around here, we understood that Buster is a Hall of Fame player, like legitimately a Hall of Fame player. And that's something you can build around. And as a clubhouse guy, I don't know if there's anyone even close to a Buster Posey. Like, Correa could be that guy. It's not going to be as exciting as Judge. Judge is definitely that guy. Is Xander Bogaerts that guy? I mean, Trey Turner is really fun and exciting. Maybe he could be that guy. But that's the kind of guy we're talking about here. And it's tough when you set the standard that high. When you go Judge, 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 and then you're like, can I interest you in a Carlos Correa? If you were never thinking about Judge, you'd be ecstatic. But now, I don't know. Does it move the needle?
It's true. But if you just look on the field, you know, what their options are, assuming that Judge does go back to the Yankees, I think it's realistic to expect them to go out and sign one of those shortstops, regardless of what that means for Brandon Crawford, because I think this is a team that's pretty determined to make a splash this offseason. It knows that it came up short last season, and there were some big flaws exposed on that roster. You know, I think if you just look at the guys that they've been connected to this offseason already, they're expected to pursue all four of those shortstops. If you pencil in one of those, and that's obviously no guarantee. Again, 29 other teams out there fighting for pretty much all these guys. But I mean, they've also looked toward the outfield. They've got connected to Cody Bellinger, who makes a lot of sense. The glove first, you know, obviously he's done plenty with the bat, but still plays great defense, even when he was slumping these past 2 years, looking for a 1-year contract and potentially fills the void in center, allows you to shift the Slater Yastrzemski platoon into a corner. They've been tied to Mitch Haniger, who's a San Jose guy. He's a local kid. Farhan really likes bringing in these local guys with some past ties to the Giants. That makes sense. I mean, you can kind of start to see a roster shaping up here that's an upgrade over last year without Judge, with just kind of piecing together some of these names that they've been tied to. You know, you go out and you get your defensive upgrade in center field. That makes the corners better. Mitch Haniger, I mean, he's no slouch. He's been an everyday player for the Mariners, 800-plus OPS just about every year for the last few years. Mm-hmm. You can pencil in him every day into your lineup. And then you've got the, like you mentioned in the open, the big Jock Peterson question. Nobody knows what he's going to do to be worth $19 million. But, I mean, if he's a designated hitter and slugging home runs without pulling down his value at all by being out there in left field half the time, you know, then you're starting to look at a winning roster here.
It's just tricky because it feels like business as usual with Farhan, right? Like, and again, business as usual did result in 107 wins one season. But it feels like the Giants need to make the step change this year. And if you're coming at me with Cody Bellinger off of whatever the hell the last 2 years have been for Cody Bellinger, if you're coming at me with Mitch Haniger, who, again, he's a nice player. You know, you grew up in Seattle. Like, Mitch Haniger is a good player. Mitch Haniger isn't a guy who you're putting on a billboard. You know, like, it's just more of sort of the same. You're getting a lot of quality in the middle of the lineup, but not in the middle of the batting order, right? Like, the roster spots 10 through 20, rock solid. But you got to get some top five guys. You got to get some top 10 guys at the very least to, you know, build up this team so that it can compete with the Padres and the Dodgers. I know that it's simplistic to just look at the two divisional foes and say, hey, those guys have a lot of stars. Go get stars or go make a star, which they're allowed to do, by the way, anytime they want to get around to that. they don't have the firepower to compete with those teams unless everything breaks right for them as it did 2 years ago. And forgive me for thinking that lightning's not going to strike twice. Again, am I off base with any of this? Do the Giants understand how jaded the fan base is right now as it pertains to them spending money? And that they might actually just have to do the dumb thing just to look smart this offseason?
I think maybe the question you want to ask is, do you want to do the dumb thing when you could wait a year or two and you don't have to do the dumb thing and you don't have to throw yourself off course for when you think you could put yourself in position to make the dumb move, and it could be, as dumb as it sounds, the smart move. I mean,
we are deep in the matrix right now.
The inherent flaw, right, of this team and the makeup of the Major League roster and kind of the upper level of the minors is that they don't have those homegrown stars that are making up the base of the team.
Right.
I mean, again, like we wrote about this during the season, right? You know, you look down south to L.A., and even in the heart of that lineup, you've got Will Smith, a catcher. We're talking about Cody Bellinger, who's, you know.
One of the MVP, and he was their guy.
These guys are coming up through their minor league system. They're churning out draft picks and international amateurs into major league regulars. And,
yes,
you know, the Giants have a few feathers in their cap, you know, Logan Webb. You really have to start thinking about at that point who you want to claim. But there are a few guys who are major league contributors, Austin Slater, Joey Bart, Camilo Doval, who have come up through the system. But it's just not that regular, reliable pipeline of talent up to the major league level. And you can do with it whatever you want. You can take the Padres route and you can trade away everybody before they get to the majors, but they're still going out and getting stars and creating that baseline.
Right.
But like Farhan said, at the trade deadline, the other teams weren't biting at their prospects because, you know, for one reason or another, they were either injured or having down years and their value just wasn't at their highest point. And ultimately, this is year four in the Farhan's idea administration, and we're still, you know, churning through the end of the 40-man roster and not really seeing, you know, these kind of impact homegrown prospects coming up to the majors. And maybe it's a little early, especially, you know, given the pandemic and all of its, you know, implications. But yeah, the clock's ticking. You know, they got Kyle Harrison on the way, but the clock is ticking.
It's tough. I mean, if they were in any other division, patience would be acceptable. But when you're in a market this big and when you're competing against two teams like that, and success is expected, and you know, Farhan is a victim of that success to a certain degree, 107. It makes things tricky. So big offseason. Is there a position that, you know, you mentioned first base, you mentioned, you know, maybe adding an outfielder. Is there something that the Giants need to address this offseason that you don't feel is getting enough shine right now because of Aaron Judge or whatever it is we're talking about here?
I'll say I was a little bit surprised to see Shelby Miller walk away today, and yeah. I don't think it's been officially announced, but reportedly going to sign with the Dodgers. He was a guy who came in at the end of last season, and you know, throughout the end of August and September, they were really kind of overhauling that bullpen and kind of offering a preview of what's to come for this year of the group of guys. You know, we've seen Scott Alexander's coming back. I thought Shelby Miller was going to be one of those guys, but he talked to Susan Slusser, the Chronicle, recently and said Giants never made him a major league offer. And, you know, he's signing an MLB deal in Los Angeles. And I talked to him at the end of the season. He really liked San Francisco. He loved the vibes out here and said he wanted to come back if it was possible. But ultimately, you're not going to pass up a major league deal for a minor league deal. But, you know, the larger point is, you know, I think the Giants are still out there in the market for relievers. I think they're looking for guys with maybe a little bit more optionability or just a track record than Shelby. If you're going to go out and give money to a guy who doesn't have the options to go up and down between AAA, you're probably going to want a little bit longer track record than what he showed. No matter how generally impressive it was, I think he had maybe one blip of an outing at the end of the year there. But I think they've been connected to Kenley Jansen, so that could make a little bit of sense, pairing with Camilo at the back end of the bullpen. But I think that's one area that you're going to see these guys add, you know, before the end of the offseason. That obviously, I mean, it's the bullpen that, of course, is getting overlooked.
But. that's what the bullpen's there for, to be overlooked. We never overlook our time with Evan Wiebeck. It's always fantastic. Evan, I hope you enjoyed this little lull that we have had, thanks to Mr. One Aaron Judge, because I'm just for one hoping that things get hot and heavy and very busy for you really fast here. So enjoy the time that's down now, because buddy, whether they sign him or not, you got some stuff to write. Appreciate you taking the time, man.
Anytime. It's always fun.
The great Evan Wiebeck, ladies and gentlemen.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.